Yabba Dabba Deadline.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's not like the Flintstones where Fred and Wilma can lift the car up with their feet and skedaddle. There are a lot of things at play in this last day for the American automotive industry to prove its viability. Negotiations with union workers, talks with debt holders, and it looks like the carmakers will be putting their plans together up until the last minute. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
They've already closed plants, laid off workers, and trimmed expenses. It looks like GM and Chrysler will need to cut even more to convince the government that they're viable. An update on that and how they'll repay billions in federal loans is due today. But GM is still wrangling with union workers over retiree health care benefits. Analyst Rebecca Linlin with IHS Global Insight says she's not surprised that the unions are still holding out.
This is how they negotiate. They negotiate right up until the very, very, very end. And then they finally give something. And I think that what they are realizing is that this is going to be a very, very painful cut.
Today, GM will get a second installment from its original bailout loan. So far, GM and Chrysler have secured more than $17 billion in taxpayer funds. But it's likely they'll ask for even more. The final restructuring plans have to be submitted by the end of March. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
President Obama will sign that near $800 billion stimulus bill. There's a ceremony scheduled in Denver today. Walmart reported better than expected earnings this morning, but that is not doing much for Wall Street. The Dow is down more than 3.5% at this hour, 286 points. NASDAQ down more than 4%. S&P 500 down nearly 4.5% so far in early trading. Stocks are down in Europe, 2.5%. Hong Kong off by nearly 4%. The Nikkei fell by about 1.3%. There's a deal this morning between SiriusXM and Liberty Media. Liberty says it'll invest more than $500 million in two phases to bolster the troubled satellite radio giant and help it get through some troubling times. In return, Liberty gets a couple of seats on the board and 12.5 million shares of preferred stock. Small mom and pops don't have much stock in the big toy fair that's underway in New York. Thousands of items on display there at the American International Toy Fair. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gratch.
This year's Toy Fair has 1,100 exhibitors. That's 100 fewer than last year. Carter Keithley is president of the Toy Industry Association, the fair organizer.
We have lost a few exhibitors, we believe in part because of the economic hardships, and in part because they are scrambling to learn what will be required of them under the new laws.
Congress tightened safety tests on children's toys in August after several dangerous toys hit store shelves. Keithley says the mom-and-pop toy makers hit hardest by these changes are at the heart of the industry.
The toy industry is really a creativity business, and so it's important to have creative juices coming from hundreds of toy creators out there bringing new ideas to market.
Keithley says this year most U.S. toys again will come from China, despite ongoing safety concerns. In strained economic times, organizers expect this year's fair to see a 30% jump in toys priced under $25. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
It's no secret that people are choosing to have a cell phone instead of their landline. Last year, Verizon lost more than 3.5 million access lines, 9% of its base. So the company's looking to get some subscribers back. The Wall Street Journal reports Verizon may begin offering a landline for $5 a month. The services would be pretty limited. It would allow users to receive calls but dial out only to 911. Verizon's also considering a $10 monthly plan that would allow some local calls. You're listening to The Morning Report on this Tuesday, February 17th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton just finished day one of her trip to Japan, and oh, what a day. Japan just got a new finance minister. The old one resigned after a weekend press conference where he was, let's say, disoriented. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Word problem. If a finance minister admits to drinking 3 or 4 gin and tonics on a plane, plus a little wine at lunch the next day, and then he slurs his way through a press conference with 6 other ministers, How much longer does he keep his job? Answer, 3 days. Shoichi Nakagawa quit today after his embarrassing performance in Rome Saturday. He blamed jet lag and cold medicine. Jeff Kingston teaches at Temple University in Tokyo.
Some people probably think that, well, the Japanese economy has been hammered so badly that maybe it's understandable. But you'd like to think that the second largest economy is in safe hands.
It's the latest setback for Prime Minister Taro Aso. Japan's economy is shrinking quickly because it's too export-dependent. And all this raises more questions about Aso's leadership. Secretary of State Clinton did meet with him today. But just in case things change, she spoke with the opposition, too. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Walmart posted a quarterly profit that beat Wall Street expectations, and the retailer's been a bright spot in an otherwise lousy industry. It's actually boosted its advertising budget to keep consumers walking through their doors. Danielle Carson reports.
Just about every retailer is slashing prices and cutting inventory. Most have scaled back their advertising, except Walmart, which is shelling out millions. But retail analyst Howard Davidowitz says it's small potatoes.
As a percentage of sales, Walmart is a very small advertiser. 300 million sounds like a big number, but they're doing 300 billion. It's a very teeny number.
Retail numbers show consumers are pretty much just spending to put food on the table and clothes on their backs. Davidowitz says that's what's keeping Walmart's books in the black.
They sell tons of food, and they have a strong price image, and they are perfectly positioned for this economy, and they sell what you have to have cheap. That's what's winning.
Davidowitz warns Walmart's strength could be a weakness down the road. Many of its customers are poor, and a long recession could hurt their buying power. I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Maybe you've heard of the so-called lipstick indicator. When the economy's down, lipstick sales go up. Well, now apparently there is a deodorant indicator. Market researcher Information Resources reports that deodorant revenues surpassed $1 billion last year. The New York Times reports that the reason for the sales jump may have to do with stronger products being pushed by deodorant companies. So if your 401k or pension plan is being attacked, at least you'll smell fresh and clean. The average American beef cow is big, hefty. That's part of the idea. Cattle producers want the maximum beef for their buck. But an increasing number of ranchers and breeders are deciding big is not always beautiful. Instead, they're turning to more diminutive breeds, and they say there are lots of reasons smaller is better. Reporter Megan Verley visited a mini cattle auction in Denver and has this story.
The mini cattle here at the National Western Stock Show are perfect scale models of the mountains of meat in neighboring pens. The tallest is only chest high. An Australian breeding experiment created the mini Angus breed about a dozen years ago. Rancher Neil Efforts was the first to try them in the U.S.
Most people thought I was crazy.
Now Efforts is one of roughly 600 breeders nationwide. He can tick off the reasons Bessie's smaller siblings are a good investment. They eat less than regular cattle, they produce proportionally more beef, and they're an easy sell to health-conscious consumers. Mini cattle are often grass-fed and waistline-friendly.
We do see a lot of growth, and especially now, because of escalating costs and people trying to manage their ranches more efficiently, there's a real increased interest in these low-line cattle.
All that, Effort says, is fueling a boom in mini cows.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the auction is underway. And start along and tell me what you're in for.
Some of the cattle parading through this auction hall fetch more than their full-sized counterparts would. $12,000 for a breeding heifer impresses Lowell Genslinger, who raises standard Angus. But he's not impressed enough to buy.
You at all tempted?
No, not a bit.
Genslinger doesn't quite call mini cows a fad, but it's clear he thinks they're no threat to conventional cattle. Mini Angus owner Joe Nauer admits he needs a thick skin to shake off the teasing he gets from a friend with regular cattle.
He says, how's the midget cow farmers doing today? And so he kind of teases a little bit, but I don't mind. It's all in fun, you know. We just turn around and say, yeah, and we make more money off of ours than you do.
Like other miniature cattle fans at the stock show, Naur is betting on the breed's popularity increasing. He hopes to use earnings from his herd to someday pay for his kids' college tuition. In Denver, I'm Megan Verlee for Marketplace.
There was a time when people ate out a lot, but those were days when consumers had more money in their pockets. Today, home cooking seems to be the in thing. There's a problem with that, though. There are a whole lot of folks who don't know how to cook. That's good news for, you guessed it, cooking schools. From Portland, Oregon, here's Sadie Babbitts.
Valerie Edwards makes a living telling people what to eat. She's a dietitian and she's a foodie. But since the recession hit...
Well, I've definitely been eating out less, and I've gotten more interested in cooking again.
She's dug into her cookbooks and found she wants to learn more.
I wanted some more skills and creativity for my dishes. I tend to make things too simple and I'm not creative enough about blending flavors together.
So Edwards turned to hip cooks. This is a new funky cooking school in Portland. Monica Retti owns Hip Cooks. She thought when the economy turned south, she'd have to cut back on what she offers. Instead, the opposite has happened.
I think as people are realizing that going out to eat is not just expensive, but sometimes not as delicious or not as healthy as cooking at home, they are coming to me to learn how in droves.
And who better to teach cooking skills in a down economy than Retti? She's an economist who used to work for the Rand Corporation. Among the new classes she's adding, gourmet on a shoestring and brown bagging it.
We cook all the lunches for a week, and so that's really fun to learn what could you cook on a Sunday that's still good to eat on Friday.
Hip Cooks isn't the only cooking school seeing a jump in attendance. Most around Portland are, including In Good Taste.
Let's talk about some of these meats. Don't fawn on them too much. Because we're all going to eat them.
On this night, guest chef Ben Dyer talks about less expensive meat cuts like flank steak.
Because in these economic times, people are looking to kind of make what they eat a little less expensive so they can feed their family a little more easily.
Cooking classes like this one will likely continue to sizzle as more jobs are slated for the chopping block. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Sadie Babbitts for Marketplace.
Once again, markets down 3.5% and 4%. The numbers, more information at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.